What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Friday, January 12th, 2018. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. We have a lot of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phones when you call on in. A little bit of a disappointment for you. I'm afraid the Lady Claire will not be with us in hour number three today. We're both over the flu. I'm almost back to my normal obnoxious self. But while she had the flu, she coughed so hard, she actually threw a vertebra in her spine out of position. She was at the chiropractor yesterday getting it hammered back on in, but she's still in a lot of pain, and this is not a very comfortable chair that we sit her in. So we're going to wait another week before she's back on the air. And I know you'll all understand. She is getting better. She is getting better, no question about that. But have to take care of her. We're both getting O-L-D-E-R and not make bad decisions when we're ill or injured. I'm going to start with something that is very alarming here. And apparently this happened over in Baltimore, where hospital security guards just wheeled this disoriented patient out onto the street and dumped her at a bus stop. And all she was wearing was the hospital gown and the slippers. Nothing else. Near freezing weather, disoriented, and they just basically kicked her on out there. Now, somebody was passing by, and he got it all on video. The video's gone viral, and needless to say, it's caused quite a bit of a reaction. The Baltimore hospital is out there saying they're conducting an internal investigation to find out what the heck was going on. But you can imagine that this is very alarming. I mean, did she just run out of money? The insurance company said, that's it, no more money. All right, kick her out. But again, an indicator that the quality of medical care in this country is in decline, and that's it's really all about the money, not about the medicine here. Now, yesterday I was talking about this strange warning issued by Canada Health, warning kids not to eat those little laundry detergent pods, and I wondered what could be going on there. As it turns out, apparently, this is the latest social media fad, where teenagers are putting these detergent pods in their mouths. It's called the Tide Pod Challenge. And so, yeah, it does make sense for Canada to issue that warning, because this is a really stupid thing to do. On the other hand, don't these kids understand putting soap in your mouth is a bad idea? And these laundry pots, it's not just soap. All those different colors, they're all kinds of different chemicals, fabric softeners. Who knows what all is in there? And they're clearly very toxic. So sometimes you have to wonder what these kids are thinking. And I understand fads can come and fads can go. But when I was a kid, a fad was like the hula hoop. And you didn't risk hospital or death playing with a hula hoop. Now, the other big story that's kind of got me riled up, if you will, is this fuss over Trump's language when they were discussing the immigration bill. And apparently somebody who was in that meeting came on out and blabbed that Trump was talking about why should we take people from these blank hole countries. And, of course, it provoked a huge response. Trump is a racist. The United Nations has denounced him for dismissing entire countries and continents with this comment. Now, Trump has come on back and said he didn't use that specific blank hole word. He did use tough language. And he's already being called a liar by a Democratic Senator, Richard Durbin, who says he was in there and said, yes, that Trump made these vile and vulgar comments repeatedly. Well, first of all, president swearing is nothing new. Harry Truman showed us all that. They all pretty much swear in private. And that's what that meeting was supposed to be, a private meeting. So Trump is surrounded by people where if he says one wrong thing, they run on out and they blab it to the media. And I don't think that's a very professional way to be conducting this business. But more importantly, the corporate media is trying to make the language Trump used the story. It's been all over. It's just Fox News is just pounding it. How could he use those words to describe these countries? And they're doing that to steer away from the question that Trump was really putting on out there. Why do we have any kind of an obligation to let people in from certain countries where the lowered living standards, high disease, people are coming in here with some social behavior that is not consistent with the United States? You've probably seen all these reports, people complaining that refugees are defecating in the streets and sidewalks. Why? Well, because back home, that's normal behavior. Here, it isn't. And so, again, we're getting back to that issue. Should immigration be selective? And yes, that's just common sense. You don't want to let in the criminals. You don't want to let in people who are going to work to subvert our country. You don't want to let in people carrying contagious diseases. You want people with skills that will contribute to our economy and our society. That's just a normal, intelligent immigration policy. And that's what Trump is trying to implement in the face of the globalists. Okay, we're going to do a shout out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. Now, Trump basically went on and said, you know, why are we taking all these people from Africa and the Middle East? Why don't we, more immigrants from like Norway? And immediately people in Norway got on Twitter saying, why would we go to the U.S. from Norway? Why would we give up our free health care? So it's just all over the place here. But in the end, the liberals are going to go ballistic. The open borders people are going to go ballistic. Trump supporters are still going to be Trump supporters because you know something? It's just a word. And we give words way too much power. We need to stay focused on the ideas and deal with that. I mean, corporate media, they're just out there. Oh, Trump used a bad word. Trump used a bad word. Big deal. I don't think there's anybody listening to the show who at one point in their life or another has not used a bad word. They drop something heavy on the foot. They hit their thumb with the hammer. And yes, it'll just come on out. It's instinctive. But the issue is not Trump's language. The issue is a responsible, realistic immigration policy for the United States of America. Speaking of inappropriate comments, apparently Nancy Pelosi came on out and said the five white guys leading the DACA negotiations should open a hamburger stand. Five white guys. But we're not being racist, are we, Nancy? In reverse. Okay, getting into more of the domestic stuff. First of all, I want to recap something that came in late yesterday. Sarah Carter confirms that phony Russian dossier paid for by the Clinton campaign, the DNC, and the FBI was in fact used by the FBI to obtain the FISA warrants on the Trump campaign. And so we've suspected it all along. We now have absolute confirmation. This leads us to the next link in the chain. This is coming out of conservativetreehouse.com saying that it's looking more and more like the Department of Justice and the FBI were working with Fusion GPS on Operation Trump. There was a conspiracy between the Department of Justice, the FBI, and Fusion GPS to somehow come up with something that was going to get Trump out of the Oval Office. And it didn't work. But all of this, of course, is highly illegal. It's certainly unprofessional. And the involved people, the Department of Justice, and the FBI ought to be fired. Those who have already left ought to be prosecuted. Now, down in North Carolina, there's been a bit of a victory for people who are opposed to the practice of gerrymandering. And if you're not sure exactly what that is that the representatives in a state, or the senators in a state, they will draw the boundaries of their districts very carefully to try and maximize voters in a district, to throw that district towards a certain party, to basically take large areas of opposition voters and break them up into multiple districts. And it's kind of a dirty pool way of subverting the democratic process here. And apparently a panel of federal judges have ruled that North Carolina's congressional districts are in fact unconstitutional and must be redrawn before the 2018 midterm election. And this decision boosts other efforts to reverse gerrymandering in the United States, because it is a way of cheating the system. It's a way of, again, breaking up groups of opposition voters into separate districts. Now, as you know, the U.S. House of Representatives voted yesterday to extend the National Security Agency's warrantless surveillance program for another 6 years. And the program, which is clearly unconstitutional, is part of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Now, whistleblowers are out there rebuking this, saying that what the NSA is doing is treating all Americans like we're terror suspects. And we're not. I'm not a terrorist. I'm irritating, annoying, and obnoxious, but I'm not a terrorist. And you don't need to spy on me. We are living in a police state. I think in many ways we've already gone past some of the abuses that Nazi Germany heaped on their people. Now, David Schenker is a director of the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. He's a former advisor to neoconservative darling Donald Rumsfeld, and he's expected to be named Assistant Secretary of State for Near Eastern Affairs, this according to a report in The Hill. So again, we see Donald Trump, despite his campaign rhetoric, he's bringing in the neocons. He's bringing in the old guard. He's bringing in the war hawks. And it is disappointing, to say the least, when you look at how many years we've been at war in how many countries. Amazing. Now, as you know, there's a new Steven Spielberg movie out called The Post. And it celebrates one of the two bright spots in the Washington Post's history, which is the publishing of the Pentagon Papers. And back then, this being before the internet, before the independent media, the American people were shocked when this information came out about how the government lied them into the war in Vietnam. And, of course, they're definitely trying to polish the Washington Post's image because of more recent developments. And, of course, the other bright spot in the Washington Post's history is Watergate. But the Washington Post, recently, they're warmongers. They've cranked up the warmongering to new levels. And the Washington Post has been one of the biggest mouthpieces for the neocon agenda. They've been cheerleading for intervention in Iraq, Libya, Syria, Yemen, Yugoslavia, Ukraine, direct confrontation with Russia, talking about going into Iran. So, yes, twice in its existence, the Washington Post did good. But they've got a lot of other stuff that is not so great. We're going to take a phone call. Nancy in New Jersey, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. I just find it's very coincidental that whenever some of these nonsensical things come out, like this, you know, Trump, with his words, there's always something else that they're trying to hide, you know, from, like Veritas's Twitter expose recently, because that was really proved how the media maligns Trump and the supporters.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to be talking about that a little bit later in the program. You know, in public, we expect our presidents to act presidential, to come across with dignity and restraint, because after all, they are the face of the nation to the rest of the world. But everybody in private meetings, they let down their guard and they say things they wouldn't say in public. Remember when Dog the Bounty Hunter got kicked off the air because he'd used the N-word in a private phone conversation, and a family member said, oh, I'm going to take this out to the media. I'm going to get my name in the newspapers. And Dog's show was actually kicked off the air. Dog didn't say it in public. He didn't say it on his TV show. He said it in private. And people say things in private that is not intended for public distribution. And that's what was going on in this immigration meeting. And I don't know how that story got out, But it reveals that Trump has a real problem with the loyalty of the people around him right now. You can't keep somebody on guard all the time. He can't carry that facade that he uses in public into his private life, or it's going to get in the way of him doing his job.
Yeah. And also, I remember Joe Biden when the Obamacare was being signed. They caught him on a hot mic saying, you know, this is a big effing deal. And the media did not handle it anywhere near what they're doing now. It's just the hypocrisy is off the charts.
Well, like I said, I think they're focusing on the language Trump used as a distraction so that people don't start asking, was Trump actually asking a legitimate question? Why are we letting people come in from these other countries who are not going to be a benefit to our society or our economy? That's a legitimate question. It deserves an answer. But no, we're going to go talk about the language that Donald Trump used and how it's racist and how he's condemning entire countries, which is kind of weird because every time the U.S. government is going to start a war, they'll condemn an entire country. Oh, those people in Iraq, they're all terrible. Saddam has got nuclear weapons. Again, more double standard, more hypocrisy.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that more people are starting to see through this because it is really ridiculous.
Absolutely. Anything else, Nancy? That's it. All right. Have a good weekend. Thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. The phone lines are open. And, okay, let's get on over to the war zones. Emphasis on the plural. Apparently, down in southern Idlib, the militants attempted a counterattack against the Syrian government forces and the Russians, and it ended in a disaster for them. The Russian Ministry of Defense has come on out and said that all of the jihadis who were involved in that drone attack on Russian bases have been killed. They did a precision strike and basically took them all out. Russia is also saying that the United States has de facto occupied part of Syria and is hindering humanitarian aid. And basically they're talking about the Rukban refugee camp in the Al-Tanf area of Syria, which is occupied by U.S.-backed forces, and there are strict limits for access of humanitarian convoys into that refugee camp. So it's a starvation blockade. And Moscow continues to emphasize the need to respect the sovereignty, territorial integrity, and the independence of Syria in the implementation of humanitarian deliveries and the observance of international humanitarian law. See, the U.S. hasn't given up. They're still trying to figure out some way that they can take this around. Okay, so more on the attack on the militants, which launched the drone strike. Apparently, the group was found and killed by Russian special operations forces. So that, as they say, as that. Now, interesting little article, and we touched on this a while back. This is over at Journal Neo. And we're seeing how the U.S. Is ramping up, escalating in Afghanistan. They're sending another 3,000 troops there. And again, remember, Donald Trump went on the campaign trail. He said he was going to get us out of Afghanistan. Another campaign promise that he broke to us all. But now he's poking at Pakistan. He's cutting off funding. He's saying it's a haven for terrorists. He's goading them. He's not having enough fun in Afghanistan? He wants a war with Pakistan? Well, actually, no. And we briefly touched on this the other day. You need to look at that Chinese-led Belt and Road Initiative. Washington, D.C. wants to stop it because it will take business away from U.S. and European-owned shipping lines that are currently used to bring goods from China down around the Indian Ocean through the canal and up to Europe. With this Belt and Road, which is not only a road but a high-speed railway, obviously, goods are going to be shipped by that because they'll get there faster. So Washington doesn't want that to succeed. And maybe getting into a war in Pakistan and re-escalating the war in Syria is a means of making that planned path a little too risky. It's all about the money. It's all about the money. Using war to guarantee profits. All right, we're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be back after these few words.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And I want to step back to Donald Trump's immigration meeting here. Somebody just sent me this article, which basically goes over the history of profanity in the Oval Office. Lyndon Johnson was very free with his language. And let's not forget all the redactions they had to do on Richard Nixon's Watergate tapes, because of all the profanity on those. So it's just not a big deal. And I think they're trying to make a big deal out of it. They're hoping that our culture has become so politically correct that we're shocked at a word. Oh my goodness, it's a word. Save me from the word. And again, because they don't want you focusing on whether the question being asked was in fact a legitimate one worthy of debate here. Okay, getting on back to the war zones. Over at the Department of Justice, Jeff Sessions may not be interested in the email server, may not be interested in pay-to-play, may not be interested in the Clinton Foundation. But by golly, he's going on the war path, not just against the marijuana, creating a new task force to take a look at drug trafficking and money laundering operations linked to Hezbollah. So now we're going to go after Hezbollah because Israel wants Hezbollah gone to make it easier to invade Lebanon. So this task force is dubbed the Hezbollah Financing and Narco-Terrorism Team. Again, more hypocrisy. More hypocrisy. Somebody did a cartoon, Ben Garrison it was, and it shows Sessions tugging on a single marijuana plant, and the leaves are all labeled with the states where marijuana has been decriminalized, and behind him is this hedge with Hillary's face in it, and all the leaves are labeled pay-to-play, murder, espionage, email server, and the rest of it. And that's exactly what's going on. The deep state is protecting Hillary Clinton because they are all dirty, whether it's the Uranium One deal or the Clinton Foundation or both. They're not mutually exclusive. Anyway, getting on over to the Donbass. Apparently, according to Zakharchenko, troops have been put on high alert out of concerns that the situation in Kiev may be deteriorating. And like so many other leaders in history, Poroshenko may, in fact, launch a war on the Donbass as much as for a distraction for his people as for any other reason. Now, interestingly enough, Ukraine's former prime minister is claiming that more than 8 million Ukrainian citizens have emigrated since the Maidan in 2014. And if he's right, it adds to growing suspicions that Kiev's claimed population numbers are utterly false. Governments do like to cook the books and rig the numbers. Let's take a phone call. Kathleen in Paris, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael. I called up to defend words.
Okay.
I don't think words are bad. I think your motivation can be bad, but a word by itself can be, no matter what the word is, and it can be just the right word in that place and at that time. And,
well, your profanity is language that wipes off its hands and gets down to work here. But I want you to consider something. Consider a newborn baby. Okay, if you say any of these words to the baby with a smiling face, the baby will smile and laugh. They don't know that these words are bad. It's something you are taught. And you are taught to be shocked at certain words in order that the people who use those words have more control over you. Because you're having a debate, you may be winning the debate, and the other person launches a bunch of profanity at you, and you go into your conditioned dance, oh, I've heard a bad word, I have to do my dance of shock, and you stop thinking. And you lose the advantage in the debate. That's why it's done. These words are, you're taught to be shocked at words to give the people who use those words a little advantage over you.
Huh. I didn't know that. But I just don't like this expression, bad words, because I think, like I said, you can be the right word at the time. And in private, people are letting off steam. That's a good thing. Yes. They didn't hit somebody.
Yes.
And it's been proven psychologically that it's good for us to swear, that if we keep things inside,
it's stress relief. It relieves stress.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And especially in literature, when you're using certain language, you're building your character. So that people know that, oh, well, he said that. You know, but still, you're right. In private, we should be able to say what we want.
Absolutely there. And again, we're giving these words too much power over us, and we need to stop. Okay?
Right.
Anyway,
thank you, Michael.
Kathleen, got to let you go. Got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page, and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Now, down in Israel, there's been another atrocity. A three-year-old Palestinian child was shot in the head during an Israeli military training session in the northern occupied West Bank city of Tubas. And according to a statement by the Palestinian Authority's Ministry of Health, the child was hit in the head with live bullets. Apparently, he survived and was a grazing shot, was taken to Rafidia Surgical Hospital in Nablus, where his condition is listed as stable. But again, a military training session. What are they training these guys to do? Apparently not to check the targets before they pull the trigger. And apparently Israel has just approved $230 million for road construction in the West Bank. The roads, however, will be restricted to settlers only. Meanwhile, over in there was an op-ed in one of newspapers in Israel, literally calling on Israel to just nuke Germany and Iran, and basically saying it would only take 20 or 30 nuclear bombs each, and we can prevent Israel's destruction. And the author of this op-ed was Chen Ben Eliyahu, and he says, if Israel does not walk in the way of God's Bible, it will receive a heavy punishment of near complete destruction and doom, and only a few will be saved. You know, I've read the Bible. Germany isn't in there. It's never mentioned. Now, Trump has gone ahead and recertified the Iran nuclear deal, apparently because the Congress did not act to do more sanctions. But Trump has also announced this will be the last time. And the next time it comes up for recertification, he's going to decertify. So that is still happening in the long run. But at least it's a little bit of a back off. We're seeing a little back off in Iran. We're seeing a little back off in North Korea. Paul Craig Roberts, unfortunately, has another point of view. And he's looking at this new nuclear doctrine coming out from the Pentagon, the Nuclear Posture Review, that basically redefines the rules under which nuclear weapons are going to be used by the United States. First of all, they're okaying the development of smaller nuclear weapons that are described as usable. We can't use the big ones. You know, we can't use the, but we're going to have little tiny nuclear bombs, and it's okay to use those. And more alarmingly, permits the use of these small nuclear weapons in response to a non-nuclear attack. Now, Reagan and Gorbachev understood there are way too many nuclear weapons already. Some scientists have estimated that if either the United States or Russia were to detonate just 10% of their existing arsenals, it would be sufficient to destroy all life on Earth. It would be on the beach for real. Okay, now, over in Myanmar, very obvious war crime. Apparently, the military forced 10 of the Rohingya to dig their own graves before executing them. And the military of Myanmar has admitted its soldiers killed 10 captured Muslims, who they said, well, they're terrorists. Anybody you're going to shoot, just say they were a terrorist. And the government forces have been conducting a cleaning operation. Apparently, they had been attacked by Bengali terrorists using sticks and swords. Now, not a lot is happening in Korea right now. Obviously, North Korea and South Korea are still talking. Everybody's getting ready for the Olympics. The saber rattling has stopped. For some reason, after all his bellicosity in recent months, Donald Trump made a very bizarre statement to the Wall Street Journal in an interview. He said, I have a good relationship with Kim Jong-un. And I'm wondering, where did that come from? Because the way they've been yelling at each other, you would think it's hostility on display. There's no relationship. Now, we have been talking about government waste for a very, very long time. We've been talking about all the money that seems to have vanished into the Pentagon that nobody knows where it went. And finally, after all these years of war and money, they're finally starting an audit over at the Pentagon. And what they're finding is absolutely frightening. And just to give you one example, an initial Army audit found 39 UH-60 Black Hawk helicopters that were not properly recorded in the military property system. We're talking $830 million of helicopters that weren't showing up on the inventory. They were just sitting out there. Apparently, the Air Force identified 478 structures and buildings at 12 installations that were not listed on the real property system. So apparently the military has been buying a lot more weapons and stuff, and they just forget where they put them. Gosh darn, they were here last week. Well, we'll just go to Congress and ask for more. I think we should cut any further increase in the military budget. In fact, we should cut it back. We don't know how many weapons they've got out there. They could have all kinds of bombers and missiles. They could even have Navy ships that aren't showing up on the official inventory because of poor tracking. It might turn out that the U.S. military is actually quite a bit larger, in which case they don't need any more of our money. Now, getting into the economic news, food stamp usage has fallen by 2 million during Trump's first year in office. And 2 million is an impressive number until you look at the total numbers, which is somewhere between 30 and 40 million. But it's going down. And it is a reminder that people, most people don't want to be on food stamps. If they don't have to do that, they don't want to. When I was a kid, when I was growing up, anybody who was on welfare or any kind of assistance was looked down on. You were socially inferior. And people just didn't want to have to deal with that. More good news for the economy here. Because of the new GOP tax plan, Fiat Chrysler Automobiles is going to move the Ram production of the Ram pickup truck back to Michigan from Mexico. Now, we don't know what Mexico is going to say about this and whether Mexico will try and counter it with tax incentives on their end. Be kind of interesting if we got a tax decrease war going among all these countries. Oh, I have to lower taxes to attract more business. No, we have to lower tax. No, we have to lower taxes over here. That would be cool. Now, Walmart was quick to get on out there on the public relations bandwagon following the increase of the minimum wage and saying that they were raising the starting hourly wage to $11 an hour and expanding employee benefits and offering workers bonuses of up to $1,000 in response to the Trump tax cut. What was left unsaid is that on the very same day, they were closing hundreds of Sam's Club stores nationwide and laying off thousands of workers. So we still don't even know if our local Sam's is open or not. We're going to have to find on out. Meanwhile, Nancy Pelosi is out there flapping her gums again. She's trashing the tax cuts. And basically, she's wealthy. She's the 15th richest member of Congress. And she sometimes comes across as delusional. Basically, she says those $1,000 bonuses are crumbs. I guess from her point of view, being that wealthy, it is a crumb. For somebody who's working minimum wage, $1,000, that is nice. That's a down payment on a car. Article coming out of DeviantInvestor.com pointing out how many aspects of the economy seem to be in bubbles. We're in the bubble zone. And cryptocurrencies appear to be in a bubble. The stock market is in a bubble. It's the most overvalued in history, far worse than 1929. Very little yield on the bonds. Many European countries less than zero. And some places real estate is starting to drop. But silver is still holding steady. Apparently, it's not considered important enough to bubble up or manipulate. Now, that's not always been the case. Back in the 1990s, there was a huge scandal of silver manipulation back then. So you have to keep an eye on the numbers. But there are bubbles. The manipulators love to rig the system. And they'll run up the bubble and they'll get out when it's at the top, get their money, get their profits. The bubble pops and everybody else is left holding the losses. Anyway, Canada has now formally complained to the World Trade Organization, saying that the United States is breaching trade rules. And basically, the U.S. is saying the move is ill-advised, which sounds vaguely like a threat. So the complaint challenges Washington's use of anti-dumping and anti-subsidy duties, according to the World Trade Organization. Ottawa has cited around 200 examples of alleged U.S. wrongdoing, almost all of them occurring concerning other trading partners such as China, Brazil, and the European Union. And Canadian Foreign Minister Chrystien Freeland said the legal action was in response to the unfair and unwarranted U.S. duties against Canada's softwood lumber producers and is part of a broader litigation to defend its forestry jobs. Now, this lumber issue has been going on for a very, very long time. obviously, if there's one thing Canada's got a lot of, it's trees. And they like to harvest those trees and they like to export them. But the U.S. is engaging in protectionism to keep Canadian lumber out of U.S. markets, even though the U.S. is already starting to run out of forests. I remember when I lived in Washington State, the debate going on, those lumber companies, they wanted to harvest those old growth forests. They wanted that timber. Do you remember after the Mount St. Helens volcano exploded, the lumber companies actually went on in there and knocked the volcanic ash off the trees that had been knocked over, and they harvested those. So we don't really have a surplus of lumber here, but still we got to keep those Canadian trees out of here. And apparently that's what this argument is all about. Interestingly enough, it's just come on out that right after Trump won the election, George Soros bought a huge stake in Goldman Sachs, just under $15 million. And that was a big change to the portfolio. So one wonders what's going on over there. We've been talking about this push for what's called a Medicaid work requirement. And the idea is that if you are on Medicaid, you have to have a job or you have to be doing volunteer service. You can't just sit at home and collect the benefits of Medicaid. And a lot of people think it's a good idea. They claim it's working up there in Maine. A lot of other people are saying it basically doesn't recognize the fact that some people on Medicaid are unable to work because of infirmity, injury, or maybe they're a caregiver for somebody else who's also on Medicaid. But apparently, we're getting a comment from Seema Verma, administrator of the CMS, saying that the initiative will get Medicaid recipients out of poverty. So that they're pushing it as this idea, we're going to force them to not be poor. But apparently over at the Rights and Democracy Healthcare Justice Team, they're saying this is a sinister move because it's basically labeling the poor and ill as some kind of deadbeat. Now, here is where I get a problem with this idea. We're going to force them to get jobs. What jobs? I mean, we've been hearing about in several states where recipients of food stamps, you got to get a job. You got to go on out and do something. There are no jobs out there. And with the illegal immigrants and the refugees pouring into this country, there is a huge surplus of workers for whom no jobs exist. And then on top of that, we have companies like the burger chains and everything are starting to move toward more automation, robots instead of human cashiers. So it's all well and good to stand up there at a podium, wave the flag and say, we're going to get these people out there to get jobs. The missing part is what jobs? They're not there. And yes, it's good that Fiat Chrysler is bringing the Ram truck production back to Michigan, but that's only a few thousand jobs against an estimated real unemployment of almost 40 million Americans who have not been able to find a job for months, if not years. So there's a lot of rhetoric out there, but there are big chunks missing to these solutions. Most people want to have a job. They want that self-respect. They don't want to be dependent on other people. But the jobs just are not there. And more, we're finding the system rigged against entrepreneurial activity and small businesses by the big corporations. It's getting grim out there. Okay, apparently Donald Trump has now canceled his planned visit to Britain next month. He was going to go open the new U.S. embassy. There are fears of mass protests, and a lot of people are saying that a new U.S. embassy probably, it's a controversy in and of itself, because apparently Obama sold the existing embassy for peanuts, and he built a replacement for basically $1 billion. But the embassy move plan was announced under George W. Bush. But Trump is going to call it off because he's concerned about massive protests. I guess it's probably more the city is concerned about mass protests. London's Mayor Sadiq Khan is out there talking about Brexit, and he needs to be more careful checking his language, because he came on out with a statement that Britain will probably leave the European Union, and that tagged him as a likely remainer. But he basically came on back and said he's not in a state of denial. He accepts that they're probably leaving the European Union. But people are very angry that his bias to remain in the EU, to remain with the globalists, is showing. Now, meanwhile, down in France, there's a growing anger against Emmanuel Macron because of his plans to harden the country's immigration laws, with members of the opposition and charities accusing the government of planning mass deportations. There's a problem. How are you going to solve it? We'll be right back.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And it's obvious the globalists are trying to shove refugees into all these other countries, blur them together, and then create a political fuss to make it impossible for these countries to send these people back home. And it's a very obvious pattern that we're seeing. It's literally a fight between globalism and nationalism. And I'm opposed to globalism. In fact, I'm opposed to large governments in general. The larger they get, the more abusive they get. That's been the lesson of history. Now, over in Mexico, their Interior Minister, Miguel Angel Osorio Chong, is resigning from his post. He's going to run for a Senate seat in the July elections and basically wanted to get on out of that Interior Ministry job because of the out-of-control crime. Soaring murders, drug murders, it's really out of control down there. There are five Mexican states that have been put on the do not travel list by the U.S. State Department. It's the same list as places like Libya and other war zones. And it sort of illustrates what can happen when the druggies get a little too powerful politically. We're already seeing drive-by shootings here over drug turf. The war on drugs is really the war on the competition's drugs. Now, here's something that's a little bizarre. Apparently, in the United States, and I've heard of this before, but somebody wrote about it, so we're going to do it. Apparently, if you are sent to jail and you have money, you can get nicer accommodations. If you're just some poor guy got caught robbing a 7-Eleven, you're going to go into the general population. But apparently some prisons have decided as a moneymaker to have a separate exclusive section for their wealthier prisoners where they are very comfortable. They got flat screen TVs. They've got computers, books, very comfortable beds. And they're calling it the pay for stay program. One of the places they've got is Seal Beach, Hermosa Beach. We figured you'd have this in California. And the other luxuries, they're semi-private rooms, single showers. They can make phone calls whenever they want. And apparently, those with the resources can actually buy their way out of serving time in the Los Angeles and Orange County jails due to the overcrowding. The jails are so crowded. If you've got the money, well, give us the money. We'll forget about the rest of your sentence. Doesn't sound like a very just system to me. And, of course, we know that there are actually federal prisons that are set up special for the elites, the club feds. So we are a stratified society. There are the elites, the haves, the wealthy, and there's everybody else. Okay, we're coming up here on our station identification. And we'll be back after these words from our sponsors. Do join us on the air, 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.